preciously. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I love when I can hear y'all sing, even with this in.
Time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen, amen. All right, we're going to take a few minutes now, and we are going to break, and we're going to go hug necks and shake hands and introduce yourself to somebody you don't know.
Well, as y'all find your way back to your seat, this is where we start slowing things down. What we just did was praising the Lord and getting fired up for the Lord, but now is when we start slowing things down. And then we really start worshiping the Lord, and this is a time that you can really just open your ears and your heart and let God speak to you this morning.
You alone are worthy.
Remember, this altar is always open. If you need to come up here, you just come on up.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Won't you pour down my grain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise.
to be with you. And in the quiet, hear your voice, word of God speak. Won't you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, please. Word of God, please. Won't you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is it's okay.
Hallelujah. Am I on? Barely? Turn me up. Yeah. There we go. Now I can hear myself. Hey, would y'all clap for the band one more time? Give them a great round of applause. Yes. Hallelujah. They dedicate a lot of time to be here and minister through music, so we're so thankful for them. So thankful, so thankful. So thankful for you guys that are new here. If you're new here, if you reach under your seat, there's probably $100 that we stay. I'm kidding. But if you are new here, we're glad you're here, and you probably got a little packet. Everybody's probably like, where was my $100? I've been going here for a long time. Yeah. But if you're new here and you came through the front, you probably got a little packet. So if you just remember, if you could take that packet and reach in there and pull out that little card and fill it out, we'd greatly appreciate it. We'd just like to know who you are, and we'd like to call you one time and just say thanks for coming. So we'd appreciate if you could do that. But if you're new here, would you please raise your hand right quick so we can honor you guys? Is there a few of you? Thank you guys. Very good. Thank you guys for being here. I think you'll find that this is a pretty darn good church. It's a pretty good one. Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37, as we spend a little time on tithes and offerings. Psalms is past Genesis and before Revelation, in case you're wondering where it's at. It's somewhere in the middle. Just turn to the middle, and if you get to the middle, you should be able to turn back to the left just a tad, and you'll be there. It's right in the middle. Psalm 37. It's one of my favorites because before I started preaching, it was one of the scriptures that helped me to settle it, because I fought it for so darn long about preaching. And I had to listen to some scripture, and I heard so many people repeat it in Proverbs 16, I think it was the other one. And man, I'm telling you, I needed these scriptures for me before I started ministering. It really helped me. But if you're new here, we spend just a little bit of time on tithes and offerings. We've done it every service since we started, and the reason we do it is because we know that finances are important to God, and they should be also important to you. Do not get religious about money when it comes to going to church and listening to ministers talk about money, and don't get religious about, you know, or upset or offended because preachers talk about money. We're telling you about money because God thinks it's important, and He talked a whole lot about prosperity. And one of the wise, that we were doing a Bible study last night with my kids. I do a Bible study with them every night. We were talking about Solomon. Well, if you know anything about Solomon, he was not broke by any means. And they've done historical references back to Solomon. They think God, because it's, you know, some of those situations may not be reversible. You don't want to wait till you get there. You want to go ahead and find out what God says about these things so that you don't have to go through those things. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit what? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy as the light. We talked a little bit about the light last week. There's something that needs to be on you. It's the light. It needs to be coming out of you. If it's on the end, it has to come out of you. Whatever's on these comes out of you. Whether you're saying it or expressing it, whatever's on the end, you bit. Go to YouTube for a little bit. Whatever's on in the inside of you is always going to manifest on the outside of you. He says, verse 7, patiently. This is why we spend time on this, because a lot of people think, well, there's two ways, or maybe there's three ways that people do this tithes and offerings thing. There's the giving and not expecting anything in return. Number two is they give and expect something instantly. There's one word of your heart. What is on the inside of you must come out of you, even if it's a Lamborghini. Amen? Whatever you're believing for, a motorhome or a new home, whatever's on the inside has to manifest eventually. And if you will do it God's way, I guarantee you, you will eventually. Because it's, I mean, God had his reputation is on the line. If you will do it the way he says, then he has to follow through, because he promised us. He promised that he said, I will give you the desires of your heart if you will trust me. What is giving? What is tithes and offerings? You're trusting God with your money. That's all it is. It's not so that the preacher can go buy a new roping horse. If you're new, you know, if you're new here, he rodeos. And the rumor when we were still in the tent before this building was ever here was the rumor was that everybody, you know, he was taking up offering, go buy a new roping horse, a new Fort Dooley, new Bloomer horse trailer with living quarters. He said, I never saw any of those checks. Never. And we're not taking up offerings so we can take them into the holy place, you know, across the way over here at the office, so God can take them up supernaturally and pay for all the angels to have new robes. Money is for you. And if you will trust God with your money, he'll give you more of it. If you can wait patiently, if you can trust him, and if you will delight yourself in the Lord and be happy about giving and not regretful or be bitter towards it. If you will trust him and wait and delight yourself, we serve a giving God. He shall give thee the desire put in you to want more stuff, and there ain't nothing wrong with it. It's God's nature. That's why he made the earth. That's why he made man. That's why he created the universe. That's why there's stars. That's why there's oceans. It's more and wants to see more and wants to go do more and to be a doer. And that's all he wants from you. If you will commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. Just trust him. Whatever is on the inside of you, just believe it. Believe that God's going to bring it back to you. Just trust this tithes and offerings thing. Don't do it because the preacher says. Research it for yourself. That's the reason there's a Bible on the planet, is so that you can go read these things and learn it for yourself, not because the preacher told you it was the way it's supposed to be. I can't make you give. Corey can't make you give. No minister that stands behind this podium can make you give. It has to be something that comes out of your heart. Amen? Y'all come give a big round of applause. Come on up today. Come on up.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Hey, I wanna hear far away. Come on up. I ain't singing it again. Thank you for singing it, but I ain't singing it again. Yes, we could hum it. Yum, yum, yum. Sing Kumbaya and sway. And turn out the lights and everybody hold up their lighters or their phones. I guess you have phones, you know. Let me tell you something. If you travel longer than an hour to get here, you ain't got nothing on this guy. And he comes a long ways, and he's not here every week, but he gets here quite a bit for a guy that has to travel about an hour and 40 minutes. So 2 hours, anything over an hour and a half might as well be 2 hours, right? But most of you guys know Rusty, but if you don't, this is Rusty Feltz. He's going to be ministering today. He drove a long ways to be here, so would y'all please give him a great round of applause.
Thank you, Howdy. Well, before I get started this morning, I like history. Huh? Oh, children's church, kids, you are dismissed. I do like history. And sometimes I like to take note of special days in history. And, you know, tomorrow, August the 24th, 1961, was a special day in history. Daryl and Jane, where'd Daryl go? Get back up here. I want Daryl and Jane to come up. I just need them for just a minute. I'll just come down there so we don't all have to climb up and down these stairs, because the three of us are a little bit more seasoned than some of y'all. And
the youth need to go too. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. Any more? Did we get everybody? Okay. Yeah, this is a testimony, okay? Because August the 24th, 1961, this lady gave birth to what we have today as our historic figure, fiddle player. But I want to honor them because they've raised up not because they put up with him all these years. They raised him up in the way that he should go, and he stuck to it. And I'm honored to call them my friends, but I thank them for being obedient. And it's a testimony, parents, when you stick to it, when we raise them up in the way they should go, they'll not depart, and they'll bring honor and glory not only to God but to their parents. And so I thank y'all for Ricky and what y'all have done, but I want to honor y'all. I'm thanking him for happy birthday tomorrow, and we're going to sing happy birthday to you for tomorrow, me and Hallie. But I do. I want to honor your mom and dad because they've done something that, you know, you're proof that when you live out the gospel, God honors it. So thank you guys. So, okay, let's sing happy birthday to Ricky, though, for tomorrow. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ricky. Happy birthday to you. It's important to honor those that, you know, the Lord would have us to do that. I really do believe. And just gives testimony to things that we need to give testimony to, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Okay, but this is not the message. But in 1 Samuel 23, this is for somebody. I just kept having this morning on the way down here. And I looked in my notes. I ministered this not too long ago at our Bible study, but I couldn't find it. So I didn't have those notes with me. So I've been looking it up. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save," I don't know how you say this, K-E-I-L-A-H. "But David's men said to him, 'Look, we're afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' So then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand.'" I don't know who that's for, but I know that someone's inquiring of the Lord, and there's been a little fear rise up in what he told you to do. And he's saying, "You go on, because I've got it for you." He says, "You walk out and you take this step that I've been encouraging you to take, and watch him come through for you." So just whoever that's for, I just wanted to be obedient and share it. No, I'm not much on titles, but if I get to title this today, I'm going to title it, "What You Thinking About?" And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but my mind can go mighty fast in a lot of different directions. And it just seems like, Lord, how in the world? You know, I spend a lot of time alone, just me and God. I'm very fortunate. In that sense, I used to be amongst a few more people than what I am today, but like, I'm just ranching and taking care of cows, so I'm by myself. Them cows, they don't care what you say to them, you know. But I get to visit with the Lord a lot, and so I've made it a point to really, to just get more vocal, and to get more vocal. And as I did the other day, when actually, Miss Ross, Corey and I talk, it's been over a week ago, when we just visited, he said, "You be on standby for Sunday." I said, "Okay." And so I don't hear from him. And the other day I had this unction to call Ricky. And I called Ricky and I said, "Just wanted to thank them. They treated us to lunch the other day, and I was thanking them for lunch." And he said, "Man, we're excited you're preaching Sunday." I said, "I am." And he said, "Well, yeah, I talked to Corey yesterday, and he said, you're preaching." I said, "Well, good thing I called you. Because Corey texted me yesterday. Hey, remember, you're preaching for me tomorrow." So, anyway, me and Corey, we know. But, anyway, it's fun. No, what you thinking about, okay? I want you to think about what you're thinking about. You know, the Lord just put it on my heart. He said, you know, it tells us in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So think about that a minute. In the Passion, it says, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. What are you thinking about in the morning when you get up? What are you thinking about at night when you go to bed? Have you got a scripture on your mind? Or are you thinking, how am I going to pay this bill? Have you got, are you thinking thoughts of peace? Or are you all in turmoil because what we, if you turn on the news, you're not in peace? If you're looking at any of that, you're thinking, Lord, I can help you take them out. And I'm trying very hard not to get political today, because it's really hard, because you get to thinking about these things. And it, I mean, I know, because I leave my house on... Y'all, we do a Bible study at Hex, Texas, and we've got a couple there that they're... She's pretty city-fied. Sweet lady. She was raised in the country. But I'm always talking about my mule I ride at the ranch. And one day she's like... One night we're talking, and she said, okay, I know that I'm city-fied, but she said, you carry a siren on that mule you ride? And she thought I was riding a real mule, not my Kawasaki mule. She thought I was riding a mule every day and blowing a siren and carrying all this stuff. It was hilarious. And Marilyn, she's just as sweet as she could be. Her husband is a retired Lutheran minister. And they know and they've come, Miss Ross, and I'm talking about they're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They're getting all kind of stuff. But they're a real blessing because that man knows the word. So anyway, but what are we thinking about? So when I'm on that mule, there's a lot of days, you know, if I don't bring every thought captive, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 down there, it says, cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Well, you know what? Trying to take out Joe Biden's not thinking on the obedience in line with the Word of God. See, y'all think that too, don't you? I know. You know, Nancy, oh my, you know, you think about those things. But so here not too long ago, I'm thinking on the like 1 Timothy in chapter 2, it tells us God said, I desire that first of all you make supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority. Unfortunately, they are in authority. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And the Lord said, you know what? If you pray for them, you can begin to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty in the midst of all of the turmoil that's going on. What are we thinking about? Are we thinking how we can get even, how we can take them down, how we can help the Lord out? You know, it's what we're thinking about. As we think in our hearts, so we're going to be and so we're going to act. You know? Oh, I so want to tell you the example that God gave Kathy one day when I had to lance a cow's jaw, but I won't. It's pretty grotesque, but y'all would laugh and y'all would agree with me, I know, if I shared it. Huh? You, Patsy, it's not very, you know. Okay, I won't name any names. But it had to do with some of our Democratic politicians. And I had to lance this cow jaw. She had a big old abscess. There ain't much gets me. I got me a pretty strong stomach. But when I lanced this baby and it sprayed all over my hand and it was right rank, howdy. I'm thinking, I'd like to have one of them right there with their mouth wide open so I could give them what they've been giving us. And Kathy said, that's no way to be. And the Lord, he sure said, that's no way to be. He said, Rusty, what are you thinking about? He said, I want you to think on those things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Isn't that right? Is it 4:8? Yes. Think on those things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report. Because when we think on those things, that's what's going to begin to come out of us. When I think on those things, when I get fully persuaded, Romans chapter 4, Abraham, verse 22, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God promised he was able to perform. And the Lord begins to, he began to deal with me, and he said, you know, do you truly believe Psalms 91 in there where it says 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand? That if you abide under my shadow, the shadow of the Almighty, that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that I've got you covered? Well, when I talk like that, I'm not demonstrating I believe that. You know, but I'm like, Lord, I still want to help you some here. You know, Lord, we need to speed this up. I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter what happens. Me and you are going to abide in peacefulness and godliness if we'll have our minds fixed on the Lord Jesus and on the Word of God. We got things coming against us. There's things happening out there that it bothers us. But I know that my God, people say, well, God's in control. Yes and no. Okay? God gave us this earth, and he said, you occupy till I come. And he said, here's how you do it. And so God owns it. He still owns it. It's like leasing a ranch. That rancher, he gives me a contract, and he says, here's what I expect from you, and here's what you can expect from me. And it's the same way God's given us this word. And he said, I've given this earth to men. And he said, I want you to occupy till I come, till Jesus comes back. And he says, here's what I'm going to do, and here's how you get me to operate. Here's how you to bring me on the scene for me to act on your behalf. And he said that we're to believe him, and we're to speak according to the Word of God. We're to bring every thought captive and keep our words lined up with the Word of God. And so, I want to talk to you about that today. What are we thinking? You know, think on those things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report. I'm sorry, I'll try to hold this closer. I know I get up and down. You can turn here if you have Habakkuk 2:2. It says, write the vision and make it plain. And it also says in verse 4 that the just shall live by faith. How do your teacher? I don't know. I know for me, I don't know how it works for a lot of people, but when you write something down and you read it, you begin to retain it. You get a picture of it in your mind. When you write it down, it starts to develop a picture. And God said, that's why he told him, write the vision damper. And so, for me, to put the Word of God, I got to write some things down so that I can, I want you to take what I've had today and you do with it what God shows you to do with it, okay? I know what he's shown me to do and how he's shown me to do it, but every one of us are different. But there's still a diligence that has to be applied by each one of us if we're going to fulfill the destiny that God called us to. So, I'm going to declare something over y'all right now. I declare that when you leave here today, you are going to be conscious of the words you speak this week. Every time you say something, I'm declaring this over you, you just watch some of me. Because you're going to speak words this week, and every time something comes out of your mouth, the Holy Spirit's going to quicken you, as to whether that was an idle word that is of no value to you, or a word that benefited you. It's going to happen. Kenny will testify to that. Whenever we were doing high school rodeos together, and I shared some things with the kids one week, and the parents the next month, when we come back for the next rodeo, they're like, my gosh, Rusty, you told those kids the words that come out of their mouth, and said, they've been reminding us, said, believe me, they're listening to you in the grandstands. And so, just get ready, because that's what's going to happen to you this week. You're going to be conscious of the words you speak, thinking about that's how the mouth's going to speak. That's what it tells us in Matthew 12:34. said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as the Lord began to deal with me on that, and he began to show me, he said, okay, he said, here's what you got to do. Y'all turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I want to tell you something. Y'all need to realize that you are God's own handiwork. Everyone sitting in here, you're God's own handiwork. If you're born again and you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're the very workmanship of God. You've been recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew for good works that he's prepared for you to walk in. And you know what? You're good at it. Say, I'm good at it. I love it. See? That's who you are. That's who we are. I don't care what the devil tries to put on you. Well, you ain't righteous. You ain't holy. You know, holiness is a progression. Righteousness, you were made righteous when you were born again. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So just accept that fact. That is a truth. Say, I'm righteous. Some of you are going, but I don't feel very righteous this morning. It doesn't matter. Some days I don't feel very saved, but I'm still saved. Some days I don't act very saved, but I'm still saved. I know how to repent, and I know how to ask for forgiveness, and I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, the Lord, I condemn it. You know what? Have y'all ever heard of Audrey Mack? Anybody in here ever heard of Audrey Mack? She's from France. She's a cool teacher. I mean, she could be a country girl, Ricky. I'm talking, she's pretty down to earth. And the Lord showed her that in Isaiah 54, where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every word that rises against you, or every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. He said, you condemn it. He said, when something rises against you, he said, you condemn it. Now, I know there's times that the Lord's doing that, but he said, they will be condemned. But he said, you take authority over those words that's spoken against you. So when somebody speaks against you, say, I'll receive that in the name of Jesus. This is what the word says about me. Are y'all okay with that? Y'all are being really quiet. Y'all need to get excited. Y'all in Proverbs 4? Okay. Man, verse 20. Let's start right there. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from my eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That heart, that innermost being, that's what makes us tick. What did it say over there in Matthew? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away, who has to put away? Me and you. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established, and do not turn to the right or left, and remove your foot from evil. There's a lot of doing in that. Y'all know that? There's a lot of verbs. There's a lot of action. And it's up to us. Jesus said, you do it, I'll honor it. He said, you attend unto my words. You incline my ear unto your saying. They are life and health and healing to all your flesh. You got to get like Abraham. Me and you, we got to get fully persuaded. You know, I've worked on that. I'm just like, man, it is so good to know that all I got to do is read the word and it's flowing through my veins, sending healing throughout my body. The word of God is life. It doesn't say just healing scriptures. It says the word of God is life and health and healing to all my flesh. So as I meditate, what did he tell us in Joshua? Chapter 1, verse 8. The word of God, this book of the law, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But he said, you got to meditate on it. You got to think about it. You got to chew on it. Ricky used to chew tobacco back there in the day. And he told me how he chewed. He said he just, you know, he chewed a pack a day, didn't he? Or more. You know, it's just like an old cow chewing her cud. You got to chew on it. You got to mull it over. You belch it back up and you swallow it back down. Not the tobacco. I'm talking about the Word of God. We take and we chew on it. We chew on it, but we replace the tobacco with the Word of God. We chew on it and we chew on it and we chew on it and we swallow it, you know, and we're, man, it's doing things, and then we need to bring it back up. like a couch. We need to bring it back up and get a hold of it so that we just continually meditate on that word, chew on it, so that it's coming out of us. It's just oozing out of us. So me and you radiate the glory of God wherever we go, so that we're demonstrating His goodness. People need to see that we are different. If we're just mixing right in with them and we blend right in with them, well, how are we going to set anybody free? You know, like Howdy was talking about our tithes and offerings. If we can't trust God with our money, how are you going to trust Him, believe Him to heal you? I'm going to, because money overrides all that other stuff first. When we give that up, when we're able to say, you know what, I'm bringing all them tithes into the storehouse, we start developing, this thing starts rising up in us, and you start exercising authority over the demonic forces, over the devil, over doubts and fears. You start creating an expectancy in you that rises up and takes over. And it's the same way physically speaking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about being well? Are we thinking about being prosperous? Are we thinking about being overcomers? Are we thinking about being the workmanship of God recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew for good works? Or are we thinking, man, I don't feel like today. I don't want to do nothing today. Lord, what are we thinking about? You know? Listen, I couldn't share this with y'all if the Lord hadn't got all over me about it, because I thought some pretty sorry thoughts for a long time. I went through a stretch in my life where I'm like, Lord, you know, the Bible's, you know, they talk about the days of man are 120 years. He's allowed us 120 years. I'm like, if I got to be here in this shape for 120 years, you can take me out pretty soon, because it ain't no fun. And he said, well, you don't think very good. Just let God get honest with you, but just answer Him back and be honest with God. Say, Lord, help me bring every thought captive. I'm going to tell you what, that verse in 2 Corinthians 10, where it tells us to bring every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ, that's work. The more you do it, the more the devil, he'll start. But so pretty soon, he's going to like, I ain't going to be able to change his mind. And he's going to go pick on somebody else. And we're going to be strong enough to help that somebody else. Because we begin to display it. It begins to be evident that I believe the word. That I'm fully persuaded that what God promised He's able to perform. So I encourage you, take things like that right there, chapter 4 in Proverbs, and make get that real. Get that to be real in your life. You know, it says our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. You know, we're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And our soul is our mind that is not our brain. Okay? Do we understand that? Our mind's not our brain. Our mind's our innermost being that we choose things with. Our mind trains our brain on how to react. But we got to bring all those thoughts into captivity, and we got to get them in line with the Word. For our mind instructs the brain what to do, and then our will, we choose. Okay? And our emotions is how we respond to what we've chosen. Oh, I've been pretty, I can be really bad at that. My wife will testify to that fact. God, you don't ever want to tell on yourself like that. But when we were first married, I could go into the testimony of all that. Everything, but you know, I mean, Kathy thought she's married an outstanding Christian man, and we're at the barn, Laurie. We're at the barn fixing to trim a bunch of coats, getting ready for sales. I don't remember everything. She probably remembers it detail for detail, because I throwed a set of clippers across the barn and busted them some bucks, and she said, I thought I married Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde there. She said, there's totally two different people than what I, you know, have been seeing. Heidi, don't laugh at me. Y'all never have those fits of carnality, do you? But you know what? We can overcome that as we, you know what? When we share it, it makes us think about it. and it helps someone else overcome in their life. Because you see, Satan tries to put condemnation on you because you're not thinking right. And then when you're not thinking right, you don't talk right. And then when you don't talk right, you don't act right. And so when we get in those situations and circumstances, we need to admit to it sometimes. Don't go around broadcasting all of it. But you know what? There's people God's placed in our lives that those testimonies like that, let them know that they're still okay. They hadn't failed. You know what? Look at Peter. You know, before he really got born again, you know, I mean, he'd been with Jesus. He cut off the servant's ear. He took things into his own hands just like me and you want to today. Once of the day of Pentecost. And he prayed, Lord, and he said, Lord, he received what the Lord had for him. Me and you, we got to receive what God has for us. Do that by taking it, by meditating on it, by thinking about it, by speaking it, by sharing it. We become partakers of his divine nature. I've been asking the Lord, how do I, man, to become a partaker of the divine nature of Jesus? That's what he's, that's where we're trying to get to. But you know what? It helps others when they've fallen, when they've slipped, when we fail. It's nice to hear someone say, man, thanks for sharing that because I see that you still believe that God's forgiven you. Well, of course he did. I've been justified by faith. Tells us in Romans chapter 5 verse 1 and 2 that we've been justified by faith and we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. That's where I'm standing. That's where me and you are standing. Right in his grace. His grace is sufficient. It covered a multitude of sin. It washed us. It cleansed us. Don't mean we're not going to make another mistake. But we've been washed and cleansed. So don't give up. I seen something written the other day. You know what? I won't even go into all the problems, but basically, if you got a lot of messed up things in your life, come to church anyway. Get amongst some believers that'll help you get it straight. Don't run away from God. The devil wants us to run away. He wants us to get out there and stay away. Get around people that'll help you, that'll rub off on you, okay? Proverbs 25:28 says, a man that has no control over his own spirit or his emotions is like a city that's broken down and without walls. That hit me a long time ago really hard. What it means is if we don't take control over our emotions, over the way we respond, Proverbs 25:28, if you're trying to look it up, we become vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And then when we become vulnerable like that and we get under attack, then Satan put condemnation on us and we won't respond in a manner that we need to respond. We start hiding. We don't want to do that. You know, we want to work to have control over our own emotions. Then we're like a fortified city. We become fortified by the blood of Christ. We've been made that way, but we got to receive it, and we've got to accept it, and we got to walk in it. And I'm telling you what, it takes diligence to become a partaker of the divine nature of God. We got to make up our minds. I want that. And then when we stumble and fall, we don't let go of it. You know, I think, I know, the only analogy that I have is roping. You know, I'm like Corey, I just roped. I mean, I still love to rope. I just don't go all the time. I don't like to go anywhere. But, you know, how many here played sports? Just raise your hand. You play sports? It takes some diligence, doesn't it? You want to be good at something, you got to work at it. Well, you know what? They didn't just, you know, Corey, he didn't just get zapped with the ability to rope steers. He had to practice. Whatever you did, you didn't just get zapped with that ability. You might be naturally athletic. You might be pretty agile. But you still had to develop some area of expertise in what you did. You had to develop those talents. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to just get zapped. I mean, you're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can get the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And you can read the... But if you don't practice the Word and be a doer of the Word, we're still just a just there. We're not accomplishing anything. We got to apply. We got to exert effort. You know, we got to make up our mind that I'm going to be diligent. As it tells in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, be diligent to make your call and election sure. If you're sitting here today, you got a call on your life. You're born again, you got a call on your life. Again, you are God's own handiwork. You are so special in His eyes. He created you to fulfill a destiny that nobody else can fulfill. You got people in your lives that you're touching every day. So why not touch them with the glory of God instead of the devil? Sometimes it's challenging, you know, but you got it in you. Because God said that He created you as His workmanship. I'm even going to give it to you more than that. But go to Psalms 139. This will just, I mean, I got, when you, Ricky, when I called you the other day, I got home, I'm thinking I might ought to study because I didn't know when Corey called and let me know if I was really preaching or not. And I got 4 pages of notes in about 45 minutes. And if I go, where did I tell y'all to go? Okay, well, I'm Psalms 139. I want you to take this. I want you to really think about this. Let's start in verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame, my bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book, I just love this right here, in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. The days. God fashioned your days for you, me and you, before He formed us in our mother's womb. And you know what them days were like? He just, in the next verse, he talks about how precious His thoughts towards us. In Jeremiah 29:11, doesn't it say, I know the plans I have for you? He wrote all those down, and every good and perfect gift comes from God, and we know that. And Jesus said in John 10:10, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I get up of a morning now. I'm not bragging. I'm not telling you to do this. But I get up of a morning and I say, Father, I thank you. This is a day that you've made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And not only that, I thank you for August the 23rd, 2020, and the plans that you wrote down in your book for me today. Because I know them plans are without any pain. They're with every need met. They're with perfect knowledge of every situation and circumstance I encounter today. You know what? That's the plan. God wrote those plans. Do you think He wrote? Be careful, Russ, how you say that. I was fixing to say that. Be careful what we think about there. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. Do you think God had good plans for you, or do you think He had junky plans for you? Do you think He had plans that caused you to be in pain today? Caused you to be in lack? Of course not. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And you know what? When you begin to think about that, those plans begin to manifest. And people see it, and they say, how'd you get there? And then we need to be honest. We say, you know what? Jesus. And God opens the door for us to bring someone else into the kingdom. They need to see a difference in our lives. They need to see who we are in Christ. They need to see that we're His workmanship, that we got the favor of God on us, and there ain't nothing can beat us. He said, I've given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of me. But you might, goes on down there and talks about developing characteristics that we may be partakers of His divine nature. We need to demonstrate His divine nature. We need to be doers of the word in order to get that done. But you got to think about who you are. You know? Where we're at today, oh goodness. It's sure easy to think. You know, what? You know, I think most everyone here thinks, I think you think the thoughts of who you are in Christ. But what I think what God's wanting us to do is to, as we bring every thought captive is not get caught up in thinking about things the way the news is portraying them. Because when we do that, we let our joy be stolen, and we let our mind begin to get warped, and then we begin to think just like the rest of the world thinks. And so what it does is pollutes our mind. That's not our brain, okay? Remember, it pollutes our mind till we're thinking just like everyone around us. And that's not, me and you weren't created to be that way. We have the mind of Christ. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and read that for yourself, just read that so that you know that the things that have been given to us freely by the Holy Spirit, as God reveals them to us, at the last verse in that chapter says we have the mind of Christ. I think that I have the mind of Christ. I think that I hold the thoughts and intents and purposes of heart. I think on those things. Those are things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report. And as you begin to think on those things, it's manifested in your life. Oh, but it's going to get deeper, okay? It's going to get me even more, all right? Miss Ross, I really wanted to just talk about faith. Okay. We possess what we confess. Now, you can take that however you want, but that's the truth. If me and you look back over our life, we're possessing what we've confessed throughout our life. And so if we need to change it, then we need to change our confession. And we need to confess the Word of God, what God says about us. We possess what we confess. Listen to this. Our faith will never exceed our confession. Our faith, me and you's faith, what we're believing for, will never exceed our confession. That's just the way it is. It's not going to exceed our confession. Faith holds fast to the confession of the Word of God. And sense knowledge holds fast to the confession of the physical evidence. Did y'all get that? Okay. Faith holds fast to the confession of the Word of God. In other words, I'm going to believe what the Word says, not what I see or not what I feel. I'm not denying the existence of things. Just, you know, I don't deny the existence of problems and opposition, but they have no authority over me. And I have to make my mind up to that and bring my thoughts, because out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth's going to speak. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what I'm thinking about is what I'm going to talk about. What I talk about is what I'm going to act like. Faith holds fast to the confession of the Word, and sense knowledge holds fast to the confession of the physical evidence. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We need to start testifying, speaking out of our mouths. Every time we testify and tell our story, we give honor and glory to God. I talked about Romans 4, you know, y'all can go back and read 20 through 5, 3 or 4 there, where it talks about being fully persuaded and justified by faith. Okay, Lord, if I share that, let me go into this right here first, and then I want to share a personal testimony with you. I don't know how many people's Bibles will be like this, but turn to the book of James. And basically, I'm going to share with you the introduction in mind to the book of James. But I want you to really just listen right now about faith. This is what it says in the introduction of mine about the book of James before we ever even get into chapter 1. Faith without works cannot be called faith. Faith without works is dead. That's James 2:26. If you look at that in James 2:26, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." I'm going to go back here to my introduction. Faith must work, and it must produce. It must be visible. Verbal faith is not enough. Mental faith is insufficient. Faith must be there, but it must be more. It must inspire action. Throughout this epistle to Jewish believers, James integrates true faith in everyday practical experience by stressing that true faith must manifest itself in works of faith. Okay, I'm going to stop right there for just a second. Betsy, you can stay seated. But as I read that this week, I got a picture of Betsy. She's went through a lot of stuff the last few months. But you know what? She got up and said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed and made whole, and I'm going to act like it, and I'm going to go be a doer of the word. Faith without works is dead. Faith must inspire action. Okay? We need to act on our faith. We need to act on what we believe. And I'm going to give a personal testimony. But okay, faith endures trials. Trials come and go, but a strong faith will face them head on and develop endurance. Faith understands temptations. It will not allow us to consent to our lust and slide into sin. Faith obeys the word. It will not merely hear and not do. Faith produces doers. Man, I want to be a doer. I want to be a doer of the word. Faith produces doers. You know, Howdy. I thought about Howdy this week as I was reading that. And what you shared last week. You know, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, you said last week that God's not going to humble us. We got to humble ourselves. And that stuck with me all week. I thought about that all week. Help me, Lord, to know more about humbling myself. Well, that's responding according to the word of God and not to my own way of doing things. You hear people say, well, you know, I'm trying to think. You know, I've kind of got those illustrations out of my mind as thinking about that. But people, well, for instance, people say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That's a lie. You were a sinner. You've been saved by grace. You ain't a sinner no more. I don't care. You're still going to mess up. But you've been saved by grace, and you're not a sinner no more. You're now a saint. You're out of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You ain't a sinner no more. Okay? You've been saved and sanctified and delivered. Justified. Faith harbors no prejudice. Faith displays itself in works. Faith is more than mere words. It's more than knowledge. It's demonstrated. I like this. It's demonstrated by obedience and overtly responding to the promises of God. Oh, here's a really good one. Faith controls the tongue. We're all good at that, right? Faith controls the tongue. Faith acts wisely. It gives us the ability to choose wisdom that's heavenly and to shun wisdom that's earthly. Faith produces separation from the world and submission to God. It provides us with the ability to resist the devil and to humbly draw near to God. And finally, faith waits patiently for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's some days right now that I'm saying, Lord, why don't you just come and get this stuff over with? You know, it'd be a whole lot more fun, more pleasurable. But we've got some things to do. And there's a multitude of people out there that have not yet come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And me and you, we got to think right so that we act right so that we help draw them in. Because God said he desired, you know what? You know, just think about this. The faster we do that, the faster Jesus comes back. You know, as we begin to think on things that are just and pure and loving and good and report, and we begin to act like we believe that and demonstrate His goodness, we're bringing people into the kingdom, and God desires that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, that's even Nancy and Chucky and that's all those guys. God still desires that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I have a hard time liking them right now, but I got to love them in the name of Jesus. And I got to pray for them. And so we need to be praying for all those who are in authority. Because we got some things coming up. And so, you know, I'm fixing to close, but think about it. Right now, pray for our nation. Pray. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and be a doer of that scripture right there. Make prayers and supplications, intercession, and thanksgiving on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority. And vote. Pray and vote. God's given us some responsibilities as believers for occupy until He comes. And when people start sharing with you, I was thinking about this morning. When people start sharing with you, well, I don't like Trump, I ain't voting for him. Okay, well, don't vote for President Trump, okay? I don't want you to vote for President Trump. What I want you to do is vote against abortion. I want to vote. I want you to vote against socialism and communism and child trafficking. I want you to vote against those things. So if you'll just vote Republican, you'll vote against that. And I'm sorry, I don't care. You know, right now that's the people that their platform represents godly principles. And so vote. You know, I probably shouldn't have said Republican, but I said it, so it's too late now. But just know, tell them, you know, when you're explaining to people, encourage them, help them, tell them, I'll take you to the polls. Just vote against this socialism and abortion and things. I know you don't like him. You know what? Maybe his mouth didn't get saved, but he's saying all the things I want to say. He's got a platform to say it from. I'm going to tell you what, that's a poker playing motor scooter right there. He's got them guys so bluffed and fooled, they don't know come here from Sikkim right now. And they're playing right into his hand. And y'all watch, as if we'll pray and believe and stand. If the Christian community will vote against all those other things, whether you're having trouble voting for him or not, tell them don't vote for him. Just vote against this other stuff. Pretend like you're not voting for President Trump. You're just voting against this other stuff. And as we do that, it'll be a landslide. Now don't think the war's over, because it ain't over. We got to keep praying. We got to keep standing. I told y'all I'd share a personal testimony. Been a little over a year ago, well, about a year and a half ago, I was dealing with some physical issues of knees. Okay, I've shot horses for 40 something years and roped and did all that stuff, and I was in a lot of pain, and I'd been to a couple different bone doctors, what do you call them, orthopedic doctors. I'd been to several, two or three of them, and then I went to my home doctor, and he said, Rusty, you don't have any cartilage, you don't have any meniscus in your knees, you're bone on bone. Would you like me to schedule you an appointment with one of those knee replacement people? And I said, no, sir, I don't think so. So I went home and I said, Lord, I'm good with it if that's what I'm supposed to do. So please, don't think I'm speaking against having that done. But I said, I want to believe for this. I believe you can give me new body parts. I believe you can give me a new meniscus. You can give me a new cartilage. And so last week, I mean, it's been getting better and better. But I hadn't been real pleased with my agility and flexibility. And he said, well, why don't you just start thanking me for increased flexibility and agility? And I constantly believe that the Lord fills my mouth with good things and my youth renewed like the eagles. But I think that way. And I'm getting better and better. And howdy, I'm getting some more flexibility. There's some things I'm not doing. But you know what? The Lord showed me one thing. He said, there's some things you shouldn't do no more. And not because we're not physically capable, but he said, you don't do those every day? And you wonder why you get sore? He said, that's like a weightlifter that lifted weights all them years, and then he quits for 10 years. And he's going to go back and jerk him up some weight. He's going to hurt. And then we're thinking, oh, my butt. No, it was foolishness. Don't be foolish. The Lord said, don't be foolish. But apply the word. Be a doer of the word. And I shared that not, I'm not boasting about, I just asked God, I want to believe for this. I want to get this way. I'm okay with it the other way, but I want to go out of here with the same ones I came in with. And so I'm working at that, and I'm expecting y'all to be in agreement with me on it, because this gets better and better all the time. But I'd like to be a little more agile than that. Okay? Listen, every head bowed and every eye closed. How do you want me to do this? You want to do it? Father God, I just thank you today for your word that's went forth. And Lord, help us to be doers of the word. Pay attention to what we think about. But Lord, if there's anyone in here today that's ever received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that you don't know him as Lord and Savior, if you're a little confused, I tell you what's happening. You're being quickened to say, man, there's something there I need. If that's you, if you're being quickened, then we're all going to pray a prayer together, And I'm asking you to pray that prayer with us and believe on the name of Jesus, because God desires, you know there's a God, but He sent His Son Jesus. And if you believe with your in your heart and confess with you that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And God's going to open your eyes to the life He created for you. And so if that's you today and there's a pulling and a tugging, well, we're all going to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray it with us and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord. So say this with me. Father God, thank You today for Jesus. I thank You, Father, that You love me so much that You sent Jesus to die for my sins and to be raised from the dead to give me eternal life. So I receive that today. I ask You, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, and I choose You. I choose life. And as I do, You reprogram me as I study Your word and purpose to live out my destiny in You. Thank You, Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you ask Him to come in, all I want you to do is just raise your hand and put it up on the count of three so that we can give you a Bible and get some information to you. We're not going to pester you. Okay? On the count of three. If that's you, raise your hand. One, two, three. Anybody? Okay. Y'all look up. I believe everybody's saved. Praise God. That's good. So, being that's the case, we got some work to do. So this week, remember, as you go forth, you're going to be so conscious of the words you speak. And you go over this, and then the one next to you, and I'm telling you what, don't do it haughtily, and don't do it, you know, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, but say, do you really want that as your confession? Help one another out. Let's help each other out, fulfill that destiny, and walk in, because out there in the midst, people are going to begin to notice, man, they don't talk like me, they don't act like me, but they're sure special, because they got some things going for them. That's going to be you. People are going to notice it on you, and they're going to give you an opportunity to share the gospel. Thank you guys for putting up with me today. Pray for Pastor Corey, for Howdy and Ricky and everybody. Just continue. We're so blessed here. We are blessed, and y'all are blessed, and y'all are a blessing. So thank you, Father, and we just give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, buddy. Hey, don't feel bad, because I don't know anybody that doesn't do a little bit of weightlifting and go sit in front of the fan for 10 minutes before they go back to do the second set. And I see it work, you know, at school when I'm with them kids, you know. Trust me, I don't care how old you are, it's work. And you gotta put in the time, you know, if you want to. Don't give up. I've dealt with that my life too. I've had, you know, times where, you know, you're walking along and all of a sudden, you know, and you just about, you know, give up and fall down. And I just, God's just told me for the past couple of years, just, you got to exercise it. The only one way to get better at something, that's just to do it. So I saw a quote the other day, speaking of politics, one of the best quotes I've ever seen. And yes, he's right. The Republican Party is more leaning towards that. And this is not a political speech, but this was a really good one. It said, what if I told you that the right wing and the left wing belong to the same bird? And in a lot of ways, it does. A lot of ways, there's people that do that, you know. Anyway, I could go on and on about that, but hang in there. Hang in there, all right? No matter what you feel, it's like he was saying, if something ain't working inside of you, change it. Do it better. And that Bible is exactly right. You know, you got to learn to get your mind right, man. If you can get your mind right, you can get the body right, you can get the spirit right, you can get your emotions right, you won't have all these issues, just hang in there. We're all in this together. Not with Corona, but we're all in this together, baby. And y'all hang in there. We'll all do this together, and we'll all, man, when he calls us up, we'll all be riding on white horses. Amen. So if, as most of y'all know, or if you're new here, you know that, you know, Rusty does not take a salary here, so if you want to bless him, and it's Rusty Fells Ministry, is that fine? What is it? He paid your way. He paid your fees. Yes, it's been a while since I've done this for y'all. Or Rusty Feltz. Okay, he paid your fees. So, guys, if you're wanting to bless Rusty before you leave, put it right here in this bucket and make the checks to him. Don't make them to WCCC. Make them to Rusty or He Paid Your Fees Ministries. If you hadn't put in your tithes and offerings, you want to do that after we're done, after we get, you know, after we dismiss, that'd be that bucket over there. But if you want to bless Rusty, right here is a bucket for him specifically. It all goes to him. Okay? So, thank you guys again for being here. Y'all stand to your feet. Don't forget, Corey will be here next week. He want me to remind you. He will be here next week. That's the plan. I think he's with London this week. She's at college. I think that's where he was going. I don't know. I think that's what he told me. But either way, he'll be here. He plans on being here next week. So y'all be praying for him. And like Rusty said, y'all be praying. Pray for your leadership. Pray for yourselves, man. Don't be religious and not praying for yourself. And you go to the holy place and you go to pray to God. Man, tell him to guide you. If there's anybody that needs guidance, it's us. Don't be ashamed to pray for yourself and ask God to give you wisdom. Solomon did it, and look how he turned out. He turned out pretty good. So as you leave here, y'all believe and expect great things to happen and get your mind under control. Amen? Father, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for blessing us. We are here to receive from you. We receive what you have to tell us. We expect wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to come to us because we're receivers of your word. And we will think, talk about, we will think right and talk right, and we will focus on the strength to honor you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. Don't forget to come bless Rusty in this bucket right here.